Well, today we are going to finish up Ephesians, and we're going to be in Ephesians 6. And this is going to be our last message on our identity in Christ. You know, we finally made it here to the very end of this examination of the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. And I hope that it's been a journey that you have grown with, grown from, and has given you maybe some new insights as to going through the systematic progression through a letter that Paul had written. You know, as we work through the scripture that way, it is always a pastor's prayer that you do grow and that you do have some new insight. And it's certainly my prayer that that is exactly what has happened with you as we've gone through these messages that God has directed us. You know, in this letter, Paul gives us encouragement. He challenges our beliefs, the way that we live our lives. And today, he gives us hope that God never leaves his children unprotected. God always protects his children. We're never left to be out to deal with the enemy alone. It is never on our own. He is always right there. He is always right there. Because the enemy is there to do what? Lie, cheat, steal, and kill. He's there to destroy our lives with hatred that comes from his character. Now today we will be diving into the last chapter here in Ephesians 6 to see what kind of protection God does give his children as we walk through this war-torn world. I don't know about you, but even writing and saying those words leaves me a little anxious, because it is a war-torn world that we live in. You know, as we look at the images of war, as we go through the experiences that some people have had in the military serving our country, we've been exposed to war pretty much our entire life, throughout our entire history. And there's terror that is associated with war, knowing that the world that we live in is fallen and broken. This makes it hard for us to imagine. This is from the spiritual side, or from the physical side, right? From a physical side, we see what this world does to one another. We see what humans do to one another. We see it every night on the news, from overseas, in our own country, in our own cities. War devastates. We understand that. But Paul here is going to be talking about an even greater war that we need to be worried about. Not worried about, that we need to know about. And that is the spiritual war. So before we get into the message today, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you so very much for your word. Lord, and I pray that as we open your word up today, that we come with open hearts and minds. Lord, that you would speak to us through what is written here. Father, let the truth of your scripture come through today. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Paul here ended chapter 5, and he continues in his letter here as we move into 6. But Paul addressed to his audience that how we are to be acting as Christians, how a Christian should be living. He doesn't tell us, you know, these are the things that you should be doing. He starts by telling us the things that we should not be doing, right? There are certain things that as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a changed person because of Christ's character and his work in our lives, that we should stop doing, right? We are different. We are different than the rest of the world. Paul here in chapter 5, he tells, you know, husbands, how husbands are supposed to treat their wives, and wives are supposed to treat their husbands. Children, how they are to interact with their parents and be obedient. He talks about slaves and masters. And I know that this is something that we don't like to talk about in our world today, because we don't think that slavery is around anymore, especially in the United States. But I'm telling you what, we're all slaves to something, right? We're all slaves to something. So Paul addresses in his day how masters are supposed to interact with their slaves and their servants, and slaves how you interact with their masters. It's all to glorify God and live in obedience. But as we're different, what does that mean? We walk differently, we talk differently, we act differently because we are different in this world. But with so much of the world that is against us, how do we live a godly, righteous life? How do we do it? How can we live this way? Well, this is a great question. And Paul begins to address it here as he is in Ephesians 6. So let's go ahead and look at Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20 this morning as we get going here. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we'll stop right there and take a look. Many of us know these verses. We've heard these verses talked about from the pulpits for decades, right? Many of us, many decades. We know what this scripture tells us, to put on the full armor of God. But I want us to go into this and put everything that we think we know and set it to the side for just a little while. Everything we think we know about this passage of Scripture, set it aside and let's let God teach us what He wants us to learn today. So set those things aside and let's look at this in a new light. Paul begins by telling the Christians to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. God calls us into this battle, but He does not expect us to enter the battle on our own or unprotected. If I go into this battle thinking that I am strong enough, that I have enough skill, that I am spiritually mature enough to handle whatever the devil can throw at me, you are wrong. You are wrong. We are not. And God, or Paul here tells us, we have got to go into this battle in God's strength and not our own. You cannot depend upon this muscle. It'll fail you. You can't go into this thinking that you have a brain that's smart enough to out-scheme the devil. You do not. None of us do. And Paul tells us that we need to be strong and put on this protection that God gives us. Our enemy knows that if we commit him on our own power and strength, it is like shooting fish in a barrel. We are easy targets, and he will destroy us if we move in that regard. If we think we can take him on, you're fooling yourself. As we are easy targets when we are trying to do this all on our own, we quickly will be destroyed. But Paul tells us that our struggle is not physical. Our struggle is not physical. When we consider war, we look at it from a physical standpoint. That's what we see, that's what we feel, that's what we've been touched with. It's all from a spirit, from a physical standpoint. But the war that we are battling, the fight that we are in, is, Paul reminds us, it's not physical. It is a spiritual battle, and you have got to go into this spiritually. We have to go into it from a spiritual standpoint. And that is very different for us. Right? That is very different for us. I mean, I could walk up to somebody. I love you, Dad. I can pinch them. They can feel it. If I get hit, I understand what that means. I hurt. If I break a bone, I know what has to happen. I need to go and have it set in a cast, and it takes a while to heal. We understand the physical, But the spiritual is way different. This is completely and totally out of our realm. The spiritual is something that we don't understand. We don't see it. We don't feel it like we do the physical. But by golly, it is just as real. It's just as real. And when we enter this battle, we have got to remember that it is a spiritual battle. It is not against flesh and blood, but it is against powers that we do not understand. And if we don't understand them, how do we fight against them? How do we fight against them? As a follower of Jesus Christ, we are constantly being attacked. And if we take our eyes off of the real enemy and lose our focus, we are going to be ineffective. We're going to be ineffective. So, who's the real enemy? A lot of times what we think of as our enemy is, you know, if someone wrongs me or someone wrongs someone that I love, someone that I am close to, what is the very first thing that we want to do? We want to defend ourselves. We want to help defend them. Is the person who is attacking us or them, are they the real enemy? No, they're not. Satan is the enemy. He is responsible. So if I go into a fight trying to defend and parry every attack that comes my way and think of it from a physical standpoint, I've lost the battle because the battle is in a spiritual sense. I've got to fight this war from a spiritual standpoint. How do we begin to do that? How do we begin to understand this? When we parry and we attack from, or we defend from a physical standpoint, that's a worldly point of view. And this is not a worldly battle. This is a spiritual battle. So we've got to think about how do we go into this battle from a spiritual standpoint. What's my response? Even if this is an area that I don't understand and know, how do I begin to understand and know it so that I can be effective in that world? Well, let's go ahead and look at verses 13 to 17. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows from the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We take all of this. This is the full armor of God. What do we do with it? Many times we think we are the ones that must fight. How many of you have thought that you were the one that had to fight? As a young, immature Christian, that is exactly what I thought. That God has called me into this fight to do exactly that. To fight. Does this scripture say anything about us fighting? It does not say anything about us fighting. Paul says you take up the full armor of God and you put every piece of it on and you stand. That's it. We stand. I used to have this thought that God was calling us to the church to go out and to take territory that was lost to Satan, to take that territory back. That comes from an American point of view. I'm just going to be honest. Stay with me for just a little while. I'm not putting the American way down. But this is how we frame Scripture sometimes. In America, what do? If someone is wrong, we want to see justice and the right thing done. If there is terror in the world, what do we want to do? We want to stand up against them and put them down. Is that the right thing to do? Yes, it is. But it changes the way we look at Scripture sometimes. Sometimes I go into spiritual battles looking at it from an American's point of view. That I'm the one that has to fight. I'm the one that has to take the fight to the enemy. God is not saying that at all. He's saying your responsibility is to put on the full armor of God and you stand. Why? Does God need my help to do anything? Heavens, no. He doesn't need my help. He graciously offers me to come in to stand. Does he need any one of us to fight for him? No. Why? He has won the war. It is done and over with. There is no need for us to fight. But what do we do in this spiritual battle? Because we do have a part to play. We do have a part to play. I do not need to go out and fight Satan. He is a defeated foe, and he knows that full well. But when we look at Ephesians 6, 13 through 17, we can become very arrogant in our thinking if we think that God needs us, and we do not need to be arrogant. We need to be humble. We need to be humble. But if we think that we do not have a part to play in this battle, what does that cause us to do in our spiritual lives? We become lethargic and lazy, and we don't do anything. And then we become to the point where we're not being able to be used by God. So what is our part to play? What is our part to play? Paul speaks about our role often. He speaks about what we're to do often in all of his letters. And it's important for us to understand it. In Philippians 1, verses 3 through 7, Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. What is Paul saying? Not only is his role that he is playing, but our role that we play as well. We are here to stand firm on the truth of God, on his love, and we are not to be moved in any way. We stand firm and we defend and confirm the gospel and the truth. That is what he's called us to do. That's what he's called us to do. We stand firm and we vigorously defend and confirm the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, God honors it. It's all part of his sovereign plan. Every person that you talk to, every prayer that you pray, is all part of God's sovereign plan. We stand upon the truth, and he takes care of everything else. That's what God's called us to do. We live the Christian life, and we stand firm on the foundation of the Scripture. That's it. That's it. Well, as Paul begins to finish up, and as I begin to finish up here today, let's read verses 18 through 20. And Paul says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Prayer is the foundation of the church. It is the foundation of the church. If we are not praying, then we're not doing church right. Just to be honest. If we are not praying, we're not doing our job. Why? Because this is a spiritual battle, and where spiritual battles are fought are in your prayer life. That's where the spiritual battle is fought. So what do you pray? I've talked about this on several occasions from behind the pulpit. We pray for physical things because they are important for people, right? But Paul tells us again and again and again that we need to pray from a spiritual standpoint and not just from a physical. So what do you pray for? Do you pray for yourself? Lord, help me to grow. Help me to deepen my faith in you. Help me to understand what your word is saying to me. Lord, what is it that I need to be reminded of that I need to change and repent of and walk away from? How is it you want to use me today? Are there people that I'm going to come in contact with that you're going to use me to impact their life? Is it something that I need to continually pray for people so that I can impact their life years from now? Or maybe even not me impact their life, but someone else. Pray for them. And then Paul says, pray for me that I may fearlessly, without anxiety, without fear, declare the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever I am, whatever I'm doing. And he was writing this from a prison cell. Many times we think that being in jail is a bad thing. Well, Paul was in jail, but it was a good thing for him because he had all kinds of people that he could impact, and he did, because he fearlessly defended and confirmed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wonder sometimes if people get tired of me talking about the gospel from behind the pulpit. But if you do, I'm sorry, because it's not going to stop. Because it's the most important thing that we have to do as Christians. It's help confirm and defend the gospel. And as it moves and as it works in us and as it begins to work in other people, the proclamation of the gospel from a courageous standpoint is noticed. People will notice us if we fearlessly defend and confirm the scripture. Now, just to give you a heads up, they will hate you for it. They will hate me for it. They do hate me for it. But does that stop us? Nope. It should embolden us all the more, because they are not hating you personally. Jesus says, you will be hated by everyone because of me. They hate Jesus in us. And because they hate Jesus in us, that should spark a fire in us to say, I'm doing something right. I'm doing something right. Pray that the gospel will impact us and others more and more, because that's so important in our world today. It is really important in our world today. This is the call for the church: to stand strong, proclaim the good news at whatever the cost. It'll cost us something, but it's a price well worth paying. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, and I pray that as we go from this place and we celebrate our freedom that we have here in the United States, that we remember that as a follower of Jesus Christ, we are truly free. We have truly been set free by the truth. Father, and I pray that you would just light a fire in each and every one of us. Father, fan it into flame, that we would burn with a passion to take the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ to others, and share the truth with them. To share that truth and let you do the rest. Father, we thank you for this message series, that our identity is in Christ Jesus and in Him alone. And Lord, I pray that as we begin to remember that, as we continue to grow in our faith, that you would continue to strengthen and encourage us to do more and more. Father, for one day we're going to be in your presence and in your glory. We're going to stand there. And that will be for all eternity. Father, we long for that. I long for that. But until that day comes, Father, I pray that we do the work. We love you and we thank you. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.